In the name of God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. You may be seated. It's not really an official title, but today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is usually known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year on this particular day, four Sundays after Easter, the gospel readings and some of the other readings in our collect of the day all focus their attention on the imagery of sheep and shepherding. Jesus this morning speaks of himself as the door or the gate of the sheepfold. It's kind of an odd image, especially if you consider that in Jesus's time, the sheep were kept inside of a stone wall that was as high as your pew, and that this stone wall had an opening for the sheep to go in and out, but there was no door. There was no gate that swung open and then closed. Instead, at nighttime, when the sheep were inside the wall, the shepherd would lie down across that entranceway. In so doing, the shepherd accomplished two things. One was he kept the sheep inside the pen. And the other was that he kept other animals out, like marauding wolves. The shepherd thus was literally the door, and he literally lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus tells his friends that the shepherd knows his sheep by name, and the sheep recognize his voice and follow. And later in John's gospel, following what we heard this morning, Jesus also says, "I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me." The shepherd knows us by name. There's a relationship between the shepherd and us, and it's an intimate relationship. I remember a number of years back, there was an annual Comdex computer show. That's Computer Dealer Expo, Comdex. It was a technology being touted there that was to be the next logical step for computers. A scanner that identifies your voice, your fingerprint, your face, your hand, your signature, your eye. Of course, first we saw it in movies, and then later in high-end electronics. Now, I think there are a lot of phones out there in the nave that have that exact capacity. It's a technology that's been around for years, but now it's inexpensive enough for us to use it more widely. Offices and laboratories use it to determine who to let in the office or the lab. Banks use it, scanning eyes for ATMs instead of PIN numbers and the like. And I'm sure that this technology can and will be used to make our lives better, but I'm also a little anxious that it will not be used that way as well. At least some of us here probably remember a time when literally we knew our banker by name. We recognized her on the street and she recognized us, you could say. But because of the pressures of an increasingly technological, fragmented, time-pressured society, we're more and more not known at our banks or elsewhere by our names. We're known by our numbers. And the implications for that are vast, for good and for not so good. Just read Hamlet's Blackberry or Big Data to get an idea. Just watch Minority Report or Person of Interest. From driver's licenses to social security numbers to zip codes to ATM and credit cards to internet protocols, we are coded, we are categorized, we are cataloged. All of us remember that in Nazi Germany, people in concentration camps had numbers too. They were tattooed on their arms. Their names were taken from them, and they were reduced to faceless, impersonal numbers. I suspect that when we take away people's names, when we take away their names, we reduce them to number, it makes it easier for us to treat them less than in a humane way. They become different, somehow less deserving of dignity, of respect. We can think of them as categories, as Germans, of Jews, of Blacks, of gays, of Muslims, of Hutu, of Tutsi. We can think of them as abstractions, easier to dismiss, easier to hate, easier to even kill. If we can reduce people to numbers, if we can take away their identities and lump them together as groups, how far is it from taking away their lives as well? Beneath all our society's prejudice, fear, racism, homophobia, rejection, and persecution, beneath all of this, I believe, is the very evil that reduces people to categories. Not calling them by their names. In short, taking the thou from the I-thou relationship and turning the thou into an it. Depersonalizing people, making them into things rather than human beings. Such, I believe, was the basis of the comments made by Cliven Bundy and Donald Sterling. But the Jesus we proclaim is the shepherd who knows us, each by name, who knows and calls all of us by name. There are no categories in Christ. There are no labels, no abstractions. The shepherd knows us. Each and every one of us matters. If we're ever to overcome the prejudice as a people, our prejudice as a people and as individuals, if we're ever going to let go and overcome the hatred and suspicion that, as the prayer says, so infects our hearts, we've got to learn to see one another as Jesus sees us, to know one another as Jesus knows us and calls us. To overcome bigotry, to overcome homophobia, sexism, racism, Islamophobia, nationalism, to put an end to bullying, discrimination in the workplace, we must begin to see persons as who they are. Simply by virtue of being alive, simply by being, they are worthy of respect, they are bearers of dignity, individuals and persons with names and indeed with deep and rich histories, each and every one. One more thought on sheep. There was an old farmer who was a sheep herder and whose neighbor's dogs were always killing a sheep. It got so bad that he knew he had to do something. He thought about taking his neighbor to court, of suing him for the loss of his sheep. But he knew that wasn't likely to accomplish the ultimate goal, which was to keep the sheep safe. He also thought about building his fence a bit higher between his neighbor's land and his. But that seemed like kind of a stopgap measure. So he hit upon an idea. He gave two lambs to his neighbor's children for pets. And of course, in time, those lambs grew into sheep. Sheep that the neighbor and his children knew and loved. Loved in a very personal way. No longer could the neighbor look at the sheep and see an impersonal herd of animals. He came to see them as individual animals with names, with histories. And it wasn't long before the neighbor's dogs were penned in. The sheep were safe. In our search to overcome racism and all the isms of our society, in our desire to sow seeds that harvest peace and not hatred, may we hold in our hearts the image of the Good Shepherd, the shepherds whose voice we know, and the good shepherd who knows us, all of us, and calls us by name. The good shepherd who gathers us all, each and every one of us, into his loving embrace today and forever. Amen.
Amen.